You're worth it. Three words we have all heard at least 1,000 times, right? You're worth it. But do you really understand what that means? It's a beautiful reminder to us all that we have worth.
That is the voice of Viola Davis, American actress and producer, and she is the first person, the first African-American actress, to achieve the Triple Crown of acting. She won an Academy Award, an Emmy Award, and 2 Tony Awards, and Time Magazine has ranked her twice as one of the 100 most influential people in the world. And today, she'll be giving us on the Super You podcast 7 super tips.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you. I hope everyone's hanging in there. 2020 is almost at a close, and for a lot of us, we cannot wait to shut that door and look to brighter things ahead in 2021. And so I hope these 7 super tips help you out today. Here's tip number 1 from Viola Davis.
I jumped out of a plane recently. Lost my mind for half an hour. But you know, when you're flying up in the plane, you're anticipating the jump, your heart is beating, you're praying, you're doing everything possible. And then your instructor says, it's time. And this is usually my Wakanda salute to my sisters, okay? So this is how I'm going to end it. When you put your legs outside of that plane, he tells you to put your hands up, put your head back, and then you fall. So with my hands up, what I'm saying is that on this day of your genesis, your leap, your commencement, your mark in your history, perhaps your elixir is simply this, that you can either leave something for people or you can leave something in people.
What popped in my head on this one is something that Andy Stanley from Buckhead Church or North Point Ministries told me a long time ago. He's like, you know, the greatest thing that you might do in life isn't something that you did, but someone that you raised. We truly live on within people. And so it's really, how can we pass that along or post it forward? As I say, digitally, there's pay it forward, but how do we post it forward? How do we pass our knowledge on? So again, hopefully you're gleaming some knowledge from today's Super You podcast. Here we go into tip number 2.
I'm one of those mentors. I'll just say it. You know, when you get to the point where you're on the stage and you guys are here and you're asking us questions, you have to understand we're coming from a place of privilege, which means we're working already. We have a resume. You don't. My journey as an actor came from me just wanting to do something, wanting to get out, wanting to be great at something, wanted to do the great works of Arthur Miller and Shakespeare and Chekhov and all of that. So I went to acting school, and I just wanted everyone else to think that I was great. So whatever they told me to do, I did, and I perfected. How do I perfect it? How do I get standard American speech? How do I use my voice? How do I do this? Ba, 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 ba. And then when I got out of school, I just needed to work because you haven't done anything. If you haven't done anything, let me tell you something. Most people will say, just go out there and do it and blah, 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 blah. That's true. Absolutely true. 100%. But more than likely, it's going to be hard. You're looking at a profession where literally with acting, less than 1% of the people make 50 grand a year or more. Less than 1%. The rest, most of them can't even make enough to make health insurance. which is $11,000 a year. But what happens when you love it and you keep doing it, and God intervenes and comes down, and all of a sudden you take off? That's when your shit has got to kick in, okay? That's when you have to be the artist that you and the person that you've always wanted to be. That's when you have to find a voice that separates you from the rest. What is it? It's Sanford Meisner always said it. It's the most powerful thing. The most powerful question you can ask is why. And that was me. Why do I have to lose weight? Why is it that I have a deep voice and a wide nose and people keep saying, but your character, you're not pretty, so you understand you can't be the love interest. Why can't I be the love interest? Why not? And all of a sudden, something opened in me that said, where I'm at, my voice, whatever, I could do whatever I want with the character and I can make it my own. I can just go out there and slay dragons. It's like, you know, it's like Elizabeth says, it's like Michelle says, fear. It's like they say, courage is fear with prayer. So you have to have the courage. You know exactly what kind of artist you want to be. There is nothing that's going to tell me that you don't. You just have to have the courage to be able to step out and do it. And that means you have a whole lot of people around you going, what the hell are you doing that for? Because I want to. Because when I go to my grave, that's what I want. That's me.
Why? It's a powerful word. Now, a lot of times when I talk with companies, I say, what's your why? Not W-H-Y, but W-H-I. Meaning, what's your mission? W, what's your mission? H, how do you differ from the competition? And then I, if you went away tomorrow, what's the loss to society? And this is very important for Gen Y and Gen Z. You know, what's the impact we're having on the community? So that if we went away, what's really the true loss to society? So always ask that why, whether in business or whether from a personal standpoint, the WHI. What's your mission? How do you differ from the competition? If you went away tomorrow, what's the loss to society? Moving on to tip number three.
You're worth it. Three words we have all heard at least 1,000 times, right? You're worth it. But do you really understand what that means? It's a beautiful reminder to us all that we have worth. You have reason and rarity. There is value in each and every one of us, including you. That is precious, even on the days you might not feel it. You never depreciate in value. Those words are there to remind you. So to all those watching who feel like that or have ever felt like that, focus on what I'm about to say and repeat after me. I'm worth it. Okay? Maybe that felt great or perhaps that felt weird. Let's go again. First, take a deep breath and let it out. Forget the naysayers and silence the critics, even if the harshest words are the ones you say to yourself. Do not doubt yourself, and this time speak it louder, really loud. I'm worth it. And the next time you hesitate before going after something you want, the next time you blush and brush off a compliment, the next time you doubt your place in the world, in the workplace, in your home, or in your own skin, say these words to yourself, I'm worth it. And I know you will always say it like you mean it. I'm worth it. Because you are. And always will be.
As we make our way into tip number four, Viola always states, you can't hesitate about who you are. Which, if you listen to this show enough, you hear me always exhort step into your story. You got to fully step into your story, which is hard to do. But as Viola states, you really can't hesitate about who you are. Even though it might be difficult, you can't hesitate about who you are. Here we are with tip number four.
I made some really bad choices in terms of relationships. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to receive love and mm-hmm. goodness. And I remember Julius even saying that when we first got together and I had to get to a set, and I didn't know how to drive on the freeway. And I said, and he wanted to drive me. I said, you can't drive me. And he said, why not? I said, because no one has ever helped me before. He said, but I want to help you. I said, yeah, I know, but, you know, Julius, I mean, no one has really helped me. No one has really been emotionally available to me. Mm-hmm. He said, but I'm emotionally available to you.
Wow.
I said, but no one has really, really, really loved me. And then he said, but I really, really, really love you. And then I said, okay, you can drive me. Okay, drive me.
Viola Davis always says that they say to serve is to love. And so embrace love today as much as you can. Embrace that servant leadership, which is sometimes hard to do, but always try to put others before you. And that's really what leadership is all about. It's servant leadership. I just want to take a moment to thank all of you for making my new book, The Focus Project, the number one new release on Amazon. And it's a perfect gift. So as we enter this new year, as we attack this brand new year, and hopefully it's a lot better than 2020, is it's a great book for that. It's how do I focus on the things that matter most, or the not so simple art of doing less better. So again, check it out. And most importantly, thanks for making it a number one new release on Amazon. So here we go into tip number 5.
You know, my testimony is one of poverty. You know, you heard I grew up in Central Falls, Rhode Island. And let me tell you something about poverty. You're invisible. Nobody sees the poor. You have access to nothing. You're no one's demographic. You know what my aha moment was? I had a memory when I was 9 years old. And I remember my parents fighting in the middle of the night. It was so bad that I started screaming at the top of my lungs and I couldn't stop. My older sister, Diane, told me to go in the house or people would hear me. So I ran in the house. I ran to the bathroom screaming still, just couldn't stop, and got down on my knees and closed my eyes. I put my hands together and said, God, if you exist, if you love me, you'll take me away from this life. Now I'm going to count to 10, and when I open my eyes, I want to be gone. You hear me? And I put my hands together and I was really believing it. One. And then I got to 8, 9, 10. And I opened my eyes and I was still there. But he did take my life. He left me right there. So when I gained vision and strength and forgiveness, I can remember what it means to be a child who was hungry. I could remember what it means to be in trauma. I could remember poverty, alcoholism. I could remember what it means to be a child who dreams and sees no physical manifestation of it. I could remember because I lived it. I was there. And that has been my biggest gift in serving. You can only understand people if you feel them in yourself.
It's so easy to forget, and I know I do it all the time, and sometimes I go, why is that person acting like that? Or why does that person understand this? Then I realize I need to walk a mile in that person's shoes. And so it's really about having, number one, we think about the greatest predictors of success, both from a business standpoint and also a personal standpoint, is self-awareness. But the sister to self-awareness is that empathy. It's that emotional intelligence. It's interesting because the name Eric Qualman, initials EQ, emotional intelligence, done a lot of research around emotional intelligence. And when I'm on stage actually talking about digital leadership and people ask me to define, or maybe the press or Wall Street asks me, hey, can you define digital leadership? I go at the simplest level. At a one-word level, it's just empathy. Can I understand where you are coming from, whether that's a friend, whether that's a family member, whether it's a customer, whether that's a prospect? If you can do that, when you combine that self-awareness in the sister, that empathy, it's a very, very powerful combination. So here we are with tip number 6.
You've got to continue to do what you do. And when people see it, if it's done with excellence and if it's dynamic, I think they can't deny it. And so whenever you get the opportunity, I always say, who has the baton? And a lot of times the people who have the baton drop it because they don't have the talent or the vision or the courage to carry it, their leg of the race. With me, I'm going to carry it my leg of the race, and that is putting stories out there that are expansive. Now, you still got to do the Hollywood thing to keep yourself viable or whatever, because, you know, whenever you do anything that's different, you have to embrace failure also. But that's the only thing you can do. What else is there to do?
What else is there to do? It's carry that baton. And then, no, you might drop the baton. She references failure. So when you drop the baton, don't worry about it. Reach down, pick it back up, and then run that much harder. And it's interesting, if you look at Wilma Rudolph, she was born, you know, crippled. And Wilma Rudolph was told by the doctors, you're never going to be able to walk again. And tells this tiny little girl, and the little girl says, I'm going to become the fastest woman on earth. And then you go to the 1960 Olympics, and there she is. Through all her trials and tribulations, Wilma Rudolph, on her last leg of the U.S. Olympic race against Germany, she drops the baton, but she picks it back up, and then she sprints ahead and wins the gold medal for that relay team in the 1960 Olympics. This is a girl that was told she'd never be able to walk again, and she drops the baton during the Olympics, but she picks it up and has resolved to finish that race first. Man, I'm really enjoying this particular podcast. I'm getting fired up. I hope it's getting you fired up as well. What an impressive person, Viola Davis. And here we are coming to a close with tip number 7.
But what I wanted to talk about is the power of courage and imagination in this business. Courage being foremost. And the reason why I'm thinking that is I did a movie called The Help. And I remember that the whole premise behind the movie was to tell the story from the maid's perspective, okay? That's the premise. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows the premise of the movie and the book. And so Skeeter, this young white girl, sets out to write this story, but absolutely how these maids feel living in 1963 Mississippi. Their voice, unbridled. And I remember there's a scene in the movie where this big, big charity event, and me and Minnie, we're at the charity event, we're watching all the white women come in, and they're dressed like, you know, ostriches. And we're laughing, laughing, laughing. Did you see Miss Lee fall? She look a mess. Ba 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 ba. And so me and Octavia Spencer came up with this little bit that I thought was really great, you know? I said, yeah, you saw blah, blah, blah. She said, yeah, she look a mess, girl. Well, you know what? Let me go serve some of these crackers to the crackers. Hysterical, right? But I remember they cut that from the movie because, you know, it's like Paul said, it's the moral barometers of what they want to see, people of color. They said, it's too mean. Mm-hmm. It's too mean for Minnie and you know, Abilene to speak that way. And I'm thinking, okay, 1963 Mississippi, you had people being thrown in ditches in the Tallahatchie River, and it's too mean to say crackers, serving crackers to the cracker. What exactly do you think these women are talking about when they're doing that? But what I'm saying is it needs the courage of beyond race, really. The courage and the imagination of a network of executives, of showrunners, to have a strong enough voice like Paul and Eileen have said so they could create narratives that are dynamic. Because I don't care who anyone is. I don't care if the character is gay, transgender, whatever. If the voice is dynamic enough, you're going to lean in. You're going to lean in. I don't care if you're 84, served in World War II, never met a homosexual, I don't know. You gonna lean in because you it's the voice is so strong. But I think I'm probably repeating what they said, but I just wanted to reiterate it because as actors, you know, especially actors of color, that's what we sorely miss.
There you have it. Those are 7 super tips from the one and only Viola Davis. My favorite tip was tip number 3. You are always worth it. I think that's particularly true in this year that we've been faced with this pandemic, that we have a lot of self-doubt. What am I going to do? What's next? And you start to have that self-doubt creep in, which is natural. But it's really, you are always, always worth it. So make sure you embrace that self-love. I love all you listeners for listening out there today. I hope you got a lot out of today's Super You podcast. Definitely go ahead and check out the book. If not for yourself, it is a great gift, The Focus Project. Again, it's the not-so-simple art of doing less better. So it's really good for the new year coming up. As we embrace change, it's really about what should I focus on the next 12 months? I did a 12-month project within the book, so I hope you tackle your own 12-month focus project. So make sure you check that out on Amazon today. And again, thanks for listening to the Super You Podcast. This is your host, Eric Quammen. Most of you know me as Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3, 2,
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.